Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Put them together. Put them together for Tuesday on B&E.
Yeah, all this questioning about people moving and going to different jobs. I do not question the money at SMU. If they can't get him more money, they got money there.
SMU's got cash.
I've just been around that area to see that.
Yeah, they do. We'll see. Sonny Dykes may become a pretty quick candidate, top candidate, to replace Matt Wells, fired at Texas Tech yesterday. Sonny, of course, coached at Texas Tech as an assistant as he rose, went to Texas Tech, started his coaching career, coaching high school out in Monahans. So he's got West Texas roots, so there's a lot of connection there. Of course, his father, Sonny, was
loved
a coach
his
there.
Daddy.
And loved his pop. So, and, you know, the name Dykes is well thought of in Lubbock. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Sonny Dykes was a beloved figure there. And now Sonny, you know, all that said, Sonny can coach. I mean, that's the number one thing.
That's true.
He's built a heck of a program at SMU. Remember, when he got there to take over for June Jones, that place was a mess.
It was. That's right, June.
Complete mess.
Yep.
June Jones, like, let that thing slide pretty far.
And to bring some of those players that go off to other schools and come back, end up coming back there is incredible. And really good players.
Yeah, he sold the program, and he's got SMU undefeated and beat TCU this year. Remember, TCU rushed for over 300 yards against the Horned Frogs. I mean, this is a guy that's built that program on a really solid foundation. So the question becomes, I think he'll be a prime candidate at Texas Tech. I think he'd be a real good fit at Texas Tech, but would he leave SMU? I think he probably would because of all the connection, but we'll see where that goes. Also coming up, excited to talk to Richard Justice, formerly of the Houston Chronicle, formerly of the Baltimore Sun. He's one of the better baseball writers of our generation. He's now a contributor at Texas Monthly and dropped a story yesterday on this Houston Astros team. The title of the story in this year's World Series, it's Houston versus everybody. Talking about the Astros facing the taunts of the baseball world and continuing to win baseball games. We'll talk to Richard about that and preview the World Series, which opens tonight in Houston, Atlanta, and the Astros. And how about the Astros? They're going to face Charlie Morton tonight, their former teammate who helped them win the World Series in 2017.
Boy, and how did they get that first game?
Yeah. Got to get to Charlie Morton early, as we mentioned. He struggles in first innings and then really locks it in. You don't want to get into that Braves bullpen either because they're real good. But Charlie F. and Morton against Framber Valdez tonight. We'll talk to Richard. Let's get to the other trending topics, the headlines of your Tuesday, things you need to be aware of as you're up and out. Top Gun, Law and Quentin Reynolds bring you the news. And we start with the Texas football conversation. And coming off their bye week, riding now a two-game losing streak. Longhorns have blown double-digit leads in each of the last two games and sit at 4-3. Coach Steve Sarkisian's Longhorns facing a challenge this week. They're going to travel to Waco to play the now 16th-ranked team in the land, the Baylor Bears, who are off to a 6-1 start and are part of a three-way tie for second place in the Big 12, along with Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Those three teams are a game behind unbeaten Oklahoma. Now, head coach Dave Aranda, and it's really been one of the surprises this year in the Big 12, especially on offense. He hired the offense coordinator Jeff Grimes away from BYU. He's come in, and Bears now lead the Big 12 in rushing to go with Dave Aranda's tough defense. Steve Sarkisian knows they have a tough challenge coming up on Saturday.
And this is going to take a really good week of preparation. This is a good football team we're playing. I think Dave has done a fantastic job from year one to year two of implementing his culture and his style of play. It's a sound football team. They play tough. They play hard. They run the ball well. You know, they work together in unison on defense. They're a veteran group. So with all that being said, you know, we got to prepare really well and play really well Saturday at 11 a.m.
7 a.m. pregame right here on the Horn. We'll talk about it all week long. As we mentioned, big news from Lubbock yesterday. It's official. Matt Wells out as head coach at Texas Tech. Offensive coordinator Sonny Cumbie is going to take over on an interim basis. UTSA head coach Jeff Traylor and SMU coach Sonny Dykes are two of the names that have quickly emerged as possible replacements. According to Yahoo Sports and Pete Thamel, Art Briles, the former Baylor coach, will not be a candidate for that job. Big day for Texas basketball yesterday. How about Chris Beard? Longhorns land a commitment from one of the top high school players in the state of in the nation, I should say. That'd be five-star small forward Dylan Mitchell committing to Texas yesterday via Instagram Live. He's 6'7", springy, versatile forward from Spring Hill, Florida. Is the second five-star player in the 2022 class. And then also includes the point guard Arterio Morris from Dallas Kimball. As the Longhorns continue to stock up there with Chris Beard. Their season begins November the 9th with Houston Baptist. Monday Night Football last night, the Saints survived the Seahawks 13-10 in a rainy one in Seattle. They get the victory.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
All right, so... good stuff. A lot going on. We'll get back into the Texas talk. Baylor, the opponent this week. It's a tough one for sure. And as we've said, Baylor, one of the surprise teams under Dave Aranda's leadership in year two with a revved up offense. And we know Coach Aranda plays some great defense. So we'll talk Texas football. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is one of the better baseball writers I've ever read and followed for a long time. He's now doing work for Texas Monthly. Wrote a story yesterday about the Astros and their run to another World Series. He is Richard Justice. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Appreciate you doing this and appreciate you being there. How are you enjoying your work with Texas Monthly these days?
Oh, it's been great. You know, I left Major League Baseball in December, and it got me back to things that I love. The first piece they asked me to write was on the death of Fred Akers, who I had known pretty well. And then from there, it just went off. I got to write a lot of basketball. I wrote a long piece about Mac Brown. It's been a joy.
Well, appreciate you reading it, and appreciate your work. The story you wrote yesterday about the Astros, and as we mentioned, I mentioned to our audience, the title, if they haven't read it, is it in this year's World Series, it's Houston versus everybody, and we all know the cheating scandal of 2017, and the Astros have become the villains of baseball. As we said, Richard, you did this a long time, so you understand the outside view of the Astros. How much of, in your opinion, what the Astros take currently and still take, do they deserve, and how much of it is unfair in your mind?
Well, I don't think any of it's unfair. I mean, they did what they did. When you do what they did and you're as egregious as they were about it, you're going to have to live with it forever. And it's interesting today. I read the coverage around the country. The Washington Post has a very tough column on the Astros. Like, it's not going to be over, even though we love Dusty Baker. And I think there's a tone in numerous pieces around the nation. You know, now what it's done internally, it's interesting to the Astros in that it's clear that every place they went this year, the response, posters, cursing, jeering. And what it did two things, I think. It brought the team closer together. You know, it's one of those things like our only friends are in this room. The other thing it did was it hardened them very much. Now, it affected different players differently. Carlos Correa clearly thrives on it. He loves being the center of attention, the bad guy, whatever you want to call it. He loves that. I think it bothers Altuve a lot. I don't think it bothers Bregman at all, but it's going to be a theme, and it's when you know, somebody said it's going to be a scarlet letter that these guys, the four remaining guys, five remaining guys, counting McCullers, they're going to carry with them forever.
You know, when you say that, Richard, but when you watch this team and the way they've played and, you know about them and the all-star group that still gathers with them, shouldn't this be the one that you, if you have any sense of the game itself, that you just forget? I know old-time baseball, old-timers will never forget what they did, but isn't this a group that when you watch them play over the last 2 years now, you look at it and say, this is way past banging cans right here. This is just how good they are?
Yeah, that's almost almost makes it worse. You know, they didn't have to do it.
Right, yeah.
They're a great team. They're a great team, and they are so much fun to watch. And at a time when the game is strikeouts, walks, home runs. I mean, they don't strike out. I think they were last in the major leagues in strikeout rate. They are such a mentally tough team. You know, after they, in games two and three of the ALCS, they got blown out by the Red Sox. And the narrative is, and there was a column in the Boston Globe that said, the baseball gods have decided the Red Sox are going to punish the cheating Astros. Now, that overlooks that the Red Sox were caught doing some stuff too. But, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's right, they're going to be done. But, you know, there was a voice in my head saying, be careful. You've seen this team do so much. You've seen them come back from other tough situations. And what they did was remarkable. You know, and that's going into this World Series. How's Framber Valdez going to pitch? Let me just back up and say, one of the storylines of this team is how seamlessly they folded these young guys into the mix. These Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez, the two young center fielders, Myers and McCormick, the young pitchers, Valdez and Christian Javier and Luis Garcia. I mean, it speaks to the leadership of Dusty Baker, but it speaks to the atmosphere that the veteran guys, Bregman and Altuve and Maldonado, created in the room that, hey, you're all part of us too. I mean, they've won more games than any other American League team in the last 5 years and won more than twice as many playoff games as any other American League team, and that includes the Yankees and Red Sox and all those teams that spend more money. So, I mean, like, if you could just, like, for me, I just set it aside, and I love watching them play. I know the guys pretty well, and I can't help but root for them.
Now, Richard, how long can they keep Correa there? I mean, the time is going to come when there's unbelievable money. He's making unbelievable money. He will make unbelievable money whether he stays or goes. But how much money is too much money? Do you find a way to keep them together as long as you can with this guy, win or lose the World Series?
Yeah, the time is now. You know, he's a free agent, and it's the winter of the free agent shortstop. Corey Seager is also a
right.
free agent. Jim Crane has never done what needs to be done in terms of years, but he has $65 million in Greinke and Verlander coming off the books. If you're ever going to do it, if you're ever going to break the bank, they didn't do it on George Springer, they didn't do it on Gerrit Cole, this is the guy, you know, and we know what the number is. And it's not about, is it enough money to live on? He's got enough money to live on. It's the market. The players have pride. And if you're paying Francisco Lindor this amount of money, look, I feel like I'm just as good a player as that guy. And the number is 10 years, $300+ million. And you say, well, that's an insane amount of money. It is an insane amount of money. The industry produces an insane amount of money, and it comes down to what's the price if you lose him. You know, they have a couple of guys ready in the farm system to come up, but I think as extraordinary as it's been, the only five guys left from the 2017 championship team, and to keep it going to be five straight years in the ALCS and all of that, I think Correa's the one you say, no, we got to keep this guy. And I think they'll make every effort to do that. It comes down to where Carlos wants to play. He said he likes to stay in Houston. But, you know, the great white whale is the Yankees are shopping for a shortstop, and you never know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, the Yankees do need a shortstop. They've said as much. And Correa available. Kyle Seager, there are a couple others out there as well. Richard Justice is with us, Texas Monthly contributor currently, but a longtime baseball writer. Why was Dusty Baker the right guy for this job when it all fell apart? And obviously Jeff Luhnow was let go and A.J. Hinch. Why, you've covered Dusty and been around him a long time. Why was he right for this job, and why is he so well-liked in this game?
Because there was absolute chaos in the industry. They knew they were going to get what the reception was going to be, even in spring training. They knew what the questions were going to be. Every question was going to be, and what you needed was dignity and calm and someone who'd been through everything there is to go through in his 45 years in the industry. And the players were very upset that A.J. Hinch got fired. There was a bond between they guys like Correa and Bregman and McCullers. They didn't know any other manager. And to AJ's everlasting credit, he talked to all those guys and said, look, you're about to get an opportunity to play for one of the greatest gentlemen that's ever worn the uniform, one of the finest people to ever wear the uniform. He's going to bring you a comfort and a joy that is going to be great. And there is that bond has developed. He knows they have their back. And even around the country, you know, there are so many in the industry, so many in the media that hate the Astros and root against the Astros. And I know people who absolutely hate the Astros, but won't badly want them to win for Dusty to get the ring that he's never gotten as a manager. There's just, it's not a better gentleman in the game. And at the end of the day, you know, season that goes 9 months and you go through ups and downs and everything in between, that calm is a big deal, and he is a big part of their success. and he's unsigned for next year, too.
How about this, Richard? Can he manage? I mean, we've seen what he's done late in the season with this ball club, and he's been fantastic. But he's had opportunities to win championships. Is Dusty Baker, do you find him as one of the top managers in baseball, you know, from years past, or is he getting better as he ages? Because he's with a good team, and he's with a good team.
Yeah, he's taken five different teams to the playoffs, and his closest was 2002 with the Giants when they lost to the Angels in Game 6 and 7, you know, the Cubs, the Steve Bartman game, all that. He's plenty good enough, because I think more than ever before, managing, at a time when you have an avalanche of information coming from your front office, managing is about people. It's about getting people to buy what the organization is selling. It's a collaborative effort in terms of lineup, defensive alignments, all that. But you have to have people skills. A guy who has your back. And Dusty, there is nobody better. I'm not saying there might not be better managers, but in terms of what you're looking for at this point in time, I can't imagine there's anybody better than Dusty Baker.
Richard Justice is with us now, a contributor at Texas Monthly. Give us your brave side of this game, this series. They were left for dead with 100 games into the season when Ronald Acuna got hurt, that they made the moves, they made the trades, and here they are in our 88-win team that's red hot. They feel pretty good coming into this series as well, Richard.
Yeah, and, you know, to go back, what we've seen in the Braves is what we saw in the Royals, the Astros, other teams earlier. They had the best farm system in baseball a couple of years ago. And those guys, Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies, Max Fried, they're all in the major leagues now. But what happened was they lost. Their team was gutted. They lost their second-best player, Ronald Acuna Jr., to an Achilles heel injury. They lost their best pitcher, Mike Soroka, to an injury. Marcell Ozuna was suspended for a domestic violence issue. But the general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, didn't give up. He went out and traded for four outfielders and just said, hey, we're going to keep on going. We're not giving in to this season. And since the trade deadline, since they acquired the four outfielders, Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario, who's been the hottest hitter on the planet right now other than Yordan Alvarez, they're 44-22 since the trade deadline, best record in the majors. And they have young the difference, if you looked at the matchup in this series, you could say, well, maybe the bullpens are a push, maybe the offenses are a push, maybe the Astros have an advantage in the offense. But clearly, Atlanta starting pitching with Charlie Morton and Anderson and Max Fried would be an advantage for them. But again, though, you got to go do it. And if Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia pitches the way they did against the Red Sox, the Astros are going to win pretty easily.
You would think. Richard Justice is with us. Now, real quick, while we've got you, Richard, you wrote a story earlier in the month about Steve Sarkisian and the meltdown with Oklahoma State. You wrote that for Texas Monthly. You're a Texas graduate. Give us your thoughts on Sark and year one and him as the leader of the Texas football program.
Well, it's a long road. You know, we're now going through, it's 12 years that Texas has been off the national stage, ranked higher than 19th once, four different head coaches from the end of Mac's term. So there's a lot of work to do, you know, and when remember that you guys remember when Mac got to Austin, there was a feeling that Texas best days had passed, that it was not capable of being a top five program again. And Mac resurrected everything, brought the fan support, all of that had never been as great. And he recruited two players that were program defining players, Vince Young and Colt McCoy. That's what has to happen. And Sarkisian is recruiting great, but there's a culture thing going on there that has to change. You know, you can't keep coughing up those leads. What I'm saying is he may be the right guy. We don't know. Tom Herman might have been the right guy. He wasn't the right guy. He's a good hire, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, and Richard, with that, you have to get the right players, too, to come in to change your culture. You're going to have to get the right kind of players to come in because your culture is going to change when you move into the SEC.
Yeah.
It won't be the Big 12.
It'll be different. Yeah, let me tell you a quick story. There's a kid from Houston Episcopal. He was the sixth pick in the draft named Jalen Waddle, a wide receiver. He had offers from everywhere. And he said Nick Saban came in to Episcopal and said, now look, you're a four-star player, but all we have are four-star and five-star players. Other coaches were promising all kinds of stuff. He goes, all I'm going to promise you is you'll get a chance to compete. And the kid said that when he visited Alabama, the thing that blew him away is coaches don't hold players accountable at Alabama. players hold players accountable. He said it was so amazing to watch Jalen Hurts, the quarterback at the time, was basically in charge of the whole program. And he said the discipline inside the building and the commitment to winning and the work ethic and all, he said he was blown away by that and just said, I want to be part of that. So obviously that's what Steve Sarkisian is trying to install at Texas. But it's not going to, you know, like you said, you have to get the right guys. You know, when Vince Young was getting those guys out on the field at 6 o'clock in the hot summer months that year in 2005, a lot of guys didn't want to be part of that.
Right.
So you have to get guys that have a mental toughness, because what you're asking them to do is go through pain and suffering. I mean, there were guys at Alabama that in the summer program, there were first-round draft picks that said the closest I ever come to quitting was in the summer program. And they tortured us so much, and that's what Vince and Colt brought to the organization. And, you know, when you get the right guy, it changes everything. It did with Mac, and it can happen again. You guys remember 2005, the Longhorns are down big in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And Mac is going crazy at halftime, and Vince comes over to him and goes, "Hey, coach, I got this." Yeah. And he goes, "Well, will you hurry? You're about to give me a heart attack." That's what you need. That's the mentality a championship team has.
No doubt. Richard, we appreciate it. We go on and on with the stories, but do you like the Astros in this series? Are you citing Braves?
I just have seen the Astros win too much, but I really have no idea. But if I had to put a dollar on it, and I was trying to figure out the betting odds, I don't even know how that works, but I would say the Astros are going to win.
Thank you, Richard.
Go
appreciate
look up BetUS. They'll tell you exactly what to do, Richard. Believe me.
They'll get you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks,
Richard
guys.
Justice.
Thank you, buddy.
Great treat right there talking baseball with Richard Justice. He's right about the Astros and the integrating the young players into the old, and they'll always deal with the scarlet letter of the 2017 cheating scandal. I think my question, Bon, was is it still fair that people allege that they're still cheating, I think is a problem for Astro fans currently.
I think people understand that they're not cheating, but it's never going to go away. That just,
right.
It is what it is. You can't unring that bell. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. They'll never let it go,
sure.
Because there's so many baseball purists.
Well, and fans, right? I mean,
right.
It's the New England Patriots situation, right? They'll,
right.
No matter how much Belichick and Brady won, it was always going to be Deflategate, Spygate.
Spygate, yeah.
Because they did it, right?
So right.
Even today, Tom Brady's the GOAT, but he's still hated by a lot of people.
I want one of his deflated balls, though, please.
Yes.
I want one of those. I'll give you your regular ball back. Just give me a deflated ball.
Game one tonight for the Astros and the Braves. Good stuff from Richard Justice. From now, Texas Monthly. Always read his work there. TexasMonthly.com online. Of course, the hard copies once a month. He's doing some good freelance stuff there on all sports, not just baseball now. It's B&E on the Horn coming back. We'll pick up that conversation. Also, the Craig Way report coming. Salacious gossip and your blitz, all part of a busy Tuesday here on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate Richard Justice jumping on, previewing the World Series. Game one tonight, game two tonight. As we said, key for the Astros, win the home games, right? They're 2-7 all-time in World Series games at home, all at Minute Maid Park. They got to be better, or else they're not going to win this series. But they've been good at home in these playoffs. Game one this evening should be good. Hopefully it's better than the Monday Night Football game last night, because that wasn't so good.
And I thought Richard was right on with his thoughts about Longhorn football, too.
Yeah.
And where direction. They definitely, I believe, have the right guy. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, there's a guy that you and I have been lauding for the last couple of years, and that's Jordan Whittington. And people that follow Vince Young and Colt McCoy, they actually did it on the field. It's hard for a player. As much as you like that player, when he's in the tub and the rest of the club's out at practice, to follow that guy, no matter what you think of him and how great he can be if he's actually on the field. But when guys are injured, man, it's hard for another guy to follow him. When you're in street clothes and you know, when the other dudes are in street clothes and you're out there sweating and getting hit and getting knocked around and you're putting those hours in, no matter what you think of a player, if he's not there, it's hard to follow him. It just
there's
is.
No question. I mean, and I think Jordan Whittington would be one of the first to tell you that he needs to be healthy to help this football team.
And all of that could be just bad luck.
Well, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Those aren't things that anybody that wishes upon themselves. It just, some people are snake bitten in that way. I think we've all been around those kind of people in sports before. You just have that one guy that just can't get out of that tub and be on that field. And they've got great talent. But let me tell you something. Players that are actually on that field and sweating, they look at you in street clothes every day and they go, okay, you're really sweet when you're on that field, but my ass is going to practice today and you're in street clothes or rehabbing. They just don't follow. They just don't. Very seldom do other players follow that.
Right. They can't be leaders. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, the really disappointing part for Jordan Whittington, he was finally healthy
yes.
and was finally getting to show what he could do. And he was a big factor for Texas in the first six games of the season into the Oklahoma game.
Yeah, and that was happening with the kid, the wide receiver that was on his way who ended up leaving Texas. The Gatorade Player of the Year, the wide
receiver. Oh, Jake Smith.
Jake Smith. That was another one of those guys.
Right. He's off to USC, but got hurt when he got out there, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, the injury prone is not prone to leadership. There's no doubt about
it's
that.
It's tough to do that.
But,
yes.
I mean, for me, more important from the production, I mean, Jordan Whittington did play half the season, and I thought was he was crucial. I mean, his third down, I mean, of his 24 catches, 11 were third down for first downs on third down. That showed up big time in the second half against mm-hmm. Oklahoma State when they didn't have him. And just one of those guys that could make a play when you needed a play made, break a tackle.
To me,
a fight.
If you're a competitor, forget the leader, following the leader. This is an opportunity.
Right.
This is what this is called, right?
Yeah. Well, but this is the lack of depth on this roster right now, that there's a pretty significant drop off from the top guys to the next. And that's a problem at every level. It hurts practices. Mm-hmm. It hurts competition. Let's hear from Steve Sarkisian yesterday. I thought it was interesting. Richard Justice cited the Jaylen Waddle story that at Alabama, the players hold the players accountable, right? They police the program.
That's from winning.
That's from winning.
Yes.
And that's from, you know, setting a high bar. And that started with Nick Saban way back in 2007. But, you know, the players expect a level of performance and a level of work that bleeds through the entire program. Sark was asked yesterday about vocal leadership because I do think this team lacks it. At the top, you know, you have a quarterback in Casey Thompson who's new to the starting position. He's trying to learn a new offense
he's trying to lead the team in other ways.
He's trying to learn to be a quarterback.
Right.
And, you know.
A starting quarterback, you're right.
Be consistent.
Put everybody in the right positions.
Yeah, and then on defense, DeMarvion Overshone's probably your best leader, but he's learning to play linebacker type of thing. Here's Sark on the vocal leadership from Bijan Robinson and some other guys.
Yeah, I think vocal leadership's good when you do right? When you're doing the things necessary, when you're whether it's on the field or off the field, whether it's in your personal life or on the field and how you play. Bijan clearly is a guy that could be as vocal as he would want to be because he's an unbelievable player. He's a great work ethic. He's a great human off the field. So to me, it would be a positive, but I only want him to go down that road when he's comfortable and ready to go down that road. And, you know, he's in the middle of a second year. If that's the space he wants to get into, I'm all for it because he's only going to provide, quality advice for the guys around him. I mean, clearly he handles his business in a tremendous manner, whether it's in his preparation, whether it's who he is off the field, and then in his competitiveness when he plays in game. So, and he's got a really good guy to learn from and to see it. You know, Roshan is tremendous at it, so I think it's helpful for Bijan. But ultimately, vocal leadership, you need to make sure the guys that are vocal are doing right. Because if not, then it goes on deaf ears because the guys don't want to hear somebody yelling at them that doesn't do right, and they know doesn't do right.
Yeah, and that's whether you're successful or not on the field. If you're an a-hole off the field, nobody's going to follow you on the field either. I mean, there's not many of those. You have to be that all-around leader when you're trying to lead that many guys. You just do. I mean, that's tough. That's tough to do. And I think Roshan's probably been a really big influence, and so is Bijan's coach on how he is and how he handles it. But you can't lean on that guy for every single thing on your – if you're a defensive back, you can't lean on – Bijan Robinson to be the savior of your football team. You have to participate yourself and become that guy on that side of the ball. I mean, I don't think they've had a secondary guy forever. I've been waiting for Foster to be that guy, not only by how he does it on the field, but as a vocal leader. But there's so many times that guy gets switched in and out because he's not getting it done on the field. But he's got the body, and I think he's got the capability over these years. And now he's a senior, and he's still not to that point.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the guys that I've looked at in the secondary and watched. I'm wondering when that's going to happen. And it may not ever happen.
Yeah, I think we're past that.
You think we're past that stage?
Being hopeful of that. I mean, and that's the challenge.
Every game is a different game. Every right. week is a different week for this football team. So there's still time for him to step up and be that guy. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to lead for 4 years or 5 years. Hell, you can lead for a season or you need the next four games. You can step up and be guy.
Maybe, for sure. I mean, they need that now.
But your expectations are he won't. The realistic part of it.
If he does, great, but yeah. I don't think at this point, this far into his career, you can expect it, right? I mean, it's just.
Yes, there are a lot of people have been waiting.
It would be a pleasant surprise.
It would be great, yes.
We'll see. I mean, there's been talk of Josh Thompson getting looks at safety because they're really trying to prep. I mean, this comes to the depth problem, right? They're not getting the production they want at safety with Brendan Schooler, Jaron Thompson, and B.J. Foster. So what are there's no one to push them behind those guys. So they're the starters, but there's not depth pushing them. So what do they have to do? Well, they got to think about moving Josh Thompson from corner over to safety to put some pressure on those guys to raise the level. They're opening up competition at left tackle with Christian Jones and Andre Carrick pushing him. But again, you're not going to have real competition in your program until you recruit on top of recruit on top of recruit. And that takes a cycle. And that's where Richard Justice was right, that it takes time here.
Yeah, I was telling Zay about when I was a freshman at BC and they had a senior that was a wide receiver. And this guy had, he was from the state of Massachusetts and he was always going to get that first look. And I had just come off of the big 33 game, in Pennsylvania, which is a big deal in that state. And I was ready to go as a freshman. At least I thought I was ready to go. And I'm sure I had to learn the offense and everything else. But every day I looked at that dude and said, dude, that's my job. Why do you have my job? I'm out here getting it done. And because you got some stats from, I still never caught him when it came time, as the career went on. But that dude got that jump, and I never could catch up to him. But I was, ready to go. And I'm like, dude, every day I'm doing all kinds of crazy-ass things on this football field. And because you were from this area and everything else, they're loving your opportunity.
Hold up.
Yeah, that's right.
You said the guy had records at Boston College at the time.
Well, at the end, when it's all said and done, yeah, he held some records, yeah.
Yeah, that's why he's playing in front of you.
No.
He could play.
No,
he has records. Let's get him the ball.
No, I was the baller, Zay. Back up off of that.
Sound like you came in as a big-headed freshman expecting to play.
What do you mean? Come on, man. What, I didn't work? Come on now.
No, I'm kidding.
I brought my coach with me even.
Well, that gives you a little bit of entitlement too, by the way.
Yeah, did it?
Look, I brought my coach. That's how good I am. How good are you? I set records.
Come on, man.
I set records over here. Kid. What is this, Mike Mayock or something?
No.
Mike was in the secondary when you got the
PC. Yeah, I was a senior. He was just a kid. Okay. He was usable.
All right. Hey, coming up.
Disposable.
Disposable. In your mind, he was.
Yes.
But... He's setting records.
Even in his mind,
records.
Yes.
For me, no better example of this at Texas than Xavier Worthy, right? Xavier Worthy walked in here, and he's the best receiver they have.
Absolutely.
Within six months.
And I have a guarantee those coaches knew that in about 3 weeks.
Yes, which goes to the two-front battle that Sark is fighting. He's got to fight for this year's team knowing he needs more. Knowing he needs more Xavier Worthies in here that walk in here and expect to be
right.
good. Because that's the one thing you heard about Xavier Worthy when he got here was he expected to be good. He expected
right.
to be
expected to be
a
great.
Player.
Yes.
And you don't coach that.
And no, I was not Uncle Rico. So it's back up off of that.
Uncle Rico. God, what a waste of a time movie that was back in the day. What was that, Napoleon Dynamite?
Yes.
Yes.
Uncle Rico was great.
But, if you're looking for the issue with depth on the Texas football team, look no further than that, right? I mean, Xavier Worthy walked in here as a true freshman and has become the number one weapon on the team outside of Bijan Robinson. They need more of those guys. There's no doubt about that. Then that was only going to come with recruiting. But at the same time, Steve Sarkisian has got to show this fan base, show future recruits, that this team can continue to improve throughout the course of this season. They can't continue to blow these leads. They can't continue to be mentally fragile when it comes to winning time. Critical moments, they need to rise. And this is now coming off a bye week. How much better did you get? What did you work on? What are things that you can improve upon to finish games, play a 60-minute football game? Because guess what? You're going to be an underdog in your next two games on the road, at Baylor and at Iowa State. And what is a current two-game losing streak can quickly become a four-game losing streak, and the season all of a sudden goes from promising
sure.
to miserable. So that's the challenge of Sark right now. But we all know he and this staff need more Xavier Worthies on the recruiting
trail.
There's
no doubt.
At all positions. And that's going to become their challenge. So you're trying to fight two battles at one time here with this team, which I do think is void of some leadership. It does have some talent deficiencies at key spots. There isn't a lot of depth. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a challenge for Steve Sarkisian. We'll see how he does with this group at Baylor on Saturday. Coming back, we will hit your salacious gossip, and it's your time to shine. Let's hear it. It's your Blitz coming next.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Have the Bud Light skis ready tonight if you're an Astros fan or Braves or baseball. World Series Game 1, perfect with a couple of old ice-cold Bud Lights. Whether you're out and about watching it somewhere, your favorite spot, maybe on your favorite chair at home watching the ball game. All the games this week and weekend. And Halloween coming up. Halloween parties. Dressing up, costumes.
Got to get ready for high school football Thriller this week. All the bands will be playing Thriller Friday night.
Is that right?
Night. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
This is a big one. I get excited about this one.
Because it's a Thriller.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll be doing the Halloween music on Friday, getting you ready for Halloween.
The ghouls and
goblins.
Should we
do it Friday or Monday? It's got to do it Friday, right?
Because Friday,
Halloween
yeah.
is
Heck
actually
yeah, man.
Sunday.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jerry Jones, you know him? He's the owner
speaking
of the Cowboys.
Speaking of Thriller.
The Thriller. He was on his weekly radio show this morning on The Fan up in Dallas and was asked about Tom Brady's 600th touchdown ball, which has become pretty controversial now, and was asked about what he'd do if he had that ball. He said, I'd be hard to trade with, Jerry Jones said. I'd explain to everybody that that's like asking for my baby. Then I'd tear up for a little bit thinking about how I'm going to have that when I'm 90. Then after that, I'd take offers.
Seriously?
Yeah, that guy should. Zay's been right on this point.
Zay
on this
is
thing.
So oh. wrong about that. That's just greed.
He says,
what are you going to do? Look at that football when you're 90. Not even remember what that football looks like, Brady, probably.
Again, collectibles experts estimate it's worth at about $500,000.
So
he gave it up.
You don't think Brady will still have
$500,000? Brady did tell him, said last night on the Manning show there on Monday Night Football that he's given him a piece of Bitcoin, one of his Bitcoins, which is worth $63,000, plus season tickets for 2 years. Some trade at the club store.
That helmet, all I wanted was two jerseys, two balls, and a helmet. That would have been enough. I don't want your cash.
But if I'm this guy now in Tampa, I'm saying you got to sign the jerseys and the helmet.
Well, then for sure.
Then all of a sudden, they're collectibles. Now all of a sudden, you can keep that. And that's
no,
value.
I don't just want a jersey. I need you to sign it to
sign
me.
Sign it.
And I need one of your deflated balls.
With the goat.
Or both of your deflated balls.
Deflated ball.
That's what I want.
Speaking
you know you
of,
got them at the house.
Can I play this for you a little bit? Speaking of Halloween and dress up here in Salacious Gossip, told you that Jason Sudeikis, a.k.a. Ted Lasso, hosted Saturday Night Live the other night.
He's the devil, right?
No, this was during the news segment on Saturday Night Live. Listen to this. Colin Jost introducing the devil, played by Jason Sudeikis.
Well, the news these past few years has been pretty bleak, and it seems to be continuing in that direction. Here to comment is the devil.
All right.
What's up, Colin? What's shaking?
Hello. Well, it's just great to see you, Devil. You know, we haven't seen you in like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah. It's because I've been busy, baby. Yeah. You know, last few years have been pretty good for old Beelzebub here.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. What have you been working on lately?
Oh, man. So many little side projects. You know, earthquakes, got some killer storms, Instagram for kids.
Oh, you
know, yeah. Trying to get it off the ground. You know, trying. Oh, and the climate. The climate, come on. Look, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been making things up here feel more like where I'm from, you know? So, hey, I mean, have you ever been to Florida? You know, that's not that different from hell. It's basically pre-hell, you know? It's people in their hundreds, and the temperatures are also in their hundreds. Florida's where I beta test a lot of my new ideas. You got gators, you know, over there, bath salts, the teacup ride. Love Florida. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
It must be fun. Florida must be fun for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and I'm also into sports.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You know, I've been sticking my fork in sports. You know, I mean, you saw that the Astros won.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have. Yeah. Please. And, you know, my boy Tom Brady's still going strong, right? I actually keep his soul trapped in this portrait of him.
There you go. There it is. Little sports tether. The devil and Tom Brady and the Houston Astros forever linked with the devil.
Awesome.
He went on to have some great stuff. You know, Colin Jost, who's sitting next to him, he's married to Scarlett Johansson. You should go watch it. It's pretty funny.
With the devil on his shoulder.
Because, well, he basically goes into Colin, you sold your soul to me to marry Scarlett Johansson. That's essentially what you did here.
Right.
You know I own you at this point. That's the only reason you have ScarJo on your arm, for crying out loud. All right, there's some Jason today, because that was a funny episode for sure. All right, Buck, the salacious gossip also includes the coaching gossip. We're going to talk to Chris Lovell from covers the Red Raiders. Is Sonny Dykes your pick for the Red Raiders?
Yes.
Me too. I'm going Sonny Dykes.
But they're not going to let him walk that easy at SMU.
You don't think so?
They're going to make him an offer that it's going to be hard for him to refuse.
Chris Lovell will join us here coming up. He covers the Red Raiders and does all kinds of things out there. We'll get his thoughts on the top choices and why Matt Wells is out. But first, let's get to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Lack of talent. The new excuse at UT.
They have some talent.
They do have some talent.
They do lack depth, I believe.
No doubt about it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, maybe the Longhorns ought to go ahead and embrace the hate, like Richard said, because Baylor's teaching them all the dirty tricks. I'm telling you, watch.
Baylor?
It will be a rough game.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
I don't know if they'll be dirty, but they'll be hitting hard on Saturday morning.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Longhorn fan and others, you hope that when Baylor hired Dave Aranda, they finally made a coaching mistake, like hiring a bad coach.
Not looking that way right now.
No, because Matt Rhule was a good hire, obviously. Art Briles won, but how did he do it became a question. And now here comes Dave Aranda. And then year two has them at number 16 in the country and 6-1. How good is Baylor? We'll debate that coming up throughout the course of the week and in the next hour. Chris Lovell will join us. Covers the Red Raiders. Why Matt Wells was let go and who is next to coach that football program. They're still looking for someone to take it back to where Mike Leach had it in the first part of the decade, last decade. We'll pick that up as well. It's B&E on a busy Tuesday with you, live, local, and digital, always streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.